Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another week of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Ready to get this show off and rolling today. We're going to talk some college football. The AP Top 25 finally released. We are 10 days away from kickoff, although we do get a college football game this Friday when Cal and Hawaii go toe-to-toe in Australia. But 10 days away from kickoff, we're going to go over the AP Top 25. We'll look at it by the numbers. Alabama and Clemson, number one and number two. No surprise there. In fact, the top four was identical to the coaches' poll. Also on the show today, we're going to talk UFC 202. It's a pretty good main event. I think you got your money's worth on that one. Also, Cowboy Cerrone is an animal, is he not? We talked about him last week here on the show, but we will recap McGregor-Diaz Part 2. McGregor getting the win by majority decision. A lot of people thought that maybe Diaz should have been awarded the victory. I think McGregor definitely won that fight. He gets it by the slimmest of margins, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We'll bring in Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. I always look forward to getting Larry's analysis on the fight because he truly is second to none. I mean, the guy is absolute genius when it comes to MMA. So he's going to join us. That's coming up in just a bit. You're not going to want to miss it. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard to get this new week off and rolling. And we'll start with the Dodgers and the Reds. Earlier today, the Dodgers taking it to Cincinnati 18-9. That was the final score as the Dodgers look to keep their stranglehold on first place in the NL West. As it stands right now, the Dodgers a full game ahead of the San Francisco Giants. The Dodgers now 69-55, the Giants 68-56. That game a final from earlier today. Plenty of baseball still to come. Washington will take on Baltimore, 5:05 start time there. Houston at Pittsburgh, also Boston at Tampa Bay, and Colorado at Milwaukee. 7 o'clock hour, Atlanta will be at Arizona. 8 o'clock, it's Cleveland at Oakland, the Yankees at the Mariners, and then we get the Cubs at the Padres. That's a quick look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. Again, the division races starting to tighten up a bit as we're less than 40 games away from the regular season. Toronto right now with a half-game lead over the Red Sox and a two-and-a-half-game lead over the Orioles in the AL East. That's one of the more intriguing races right now. The Indians hold a seven-game lead on the Tigers in the Central. It's the Rangers on top by six games over the Mariners. In the NL East, Washington right now eight games better than Miami, 11 better than the Mets. In the Central, the Cubbies running away with the division. They've won six out of their last 10. They hold a 12-game advantage over the Cardinals, and we just talked about the NL West with the Dodgers out in front. In the National League, if the playoffs were to start today, the wild card matchup would put the San Francisco Giants up against either St. Louis or Miami. In fact, as it stands right now, it would be the Cardinals, but you take a look at winning percentage, they're almost identical. So that's what the NL playoff picture looks like at the time being. In the American League, it's a little bit closer. You have Boston with 69 wins. They would have one of the wild card spots, and the other would go to Seattle, who's just three games back. So that's a quick look at the playoff picture in Major League Baseball. You got to start paying attention to that now with less than 40 games to go in the regular season. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines throughout the national sports scene. The Denver Broncos and Coach Gary Kubiak has announced that Trevor Siemian will get the start as the Broncos take on the Rams this upcoming Saturday. Siemian didn't play bad this past weekend as the Broncos fell to the 49ers 31-24. Siemian was 10 of 14, threw for 75 yards, did have one interception. Mark Sanchez, who started the game, was 10 of 17 for 120 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Paxton Lynch, the rookie out of Memphis, he was 15 of 26 for 113 yards, two TDs, and one interception. It's unknown right now who would be the second-string quarterback in this game against the Rams. But again, Gary Kubiak announcing that Trevor Siemian will get the start when the Broncos go toe-to-toe with the Rams this Saturday at Mile High. Some of the other national sports headlines. Ryan Lochte losing money left and right. He's now lost all four of his endorsements after the Rio controversy. At Speedo, Gentle Hair Removal and Airweave terminated their deals with the swimmer, while Ralph Lauren said it wouldn't renew its deal that ran through the 2016 Olympics. Speedo signed Lochte to a 10-year deal in 2006. They said in a statement that it would end its relationship with the swimmer, who has won 12 Olympic medals, including 6 golds. But again, he told a lie that just ballooned out of control, and we don't need to go back down that avenue again. We talked about Ryan Lochte enough last week. The Olympics are over with, and as far as I'm concerned, the Ryan Lochte talk is finished as well. Here's a rather sad story. Former Raiders quarterback Todd Marinovich was found naked with marijuana in a residential area of Irvine, California. That's what the police are saying. He's 47 years old. He was cited for trespassing, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of marijuana. Marinovich, an Irvine resident, is in the backyard of a home, and he had been seen naked on the neighborhood jogging path. It's just a long history of Marinovich. He's had problems with drugs that have been well documented since his stardom as a freshman at USC back in 89. Just a bad, bad deal. He was booked for possession a month after the 1990 Sun Bowl, and then he entered the NFL draft, where he was drafted in the first round by the Raiders at that particular time. He was released by the Raiders after 2 seasons for repeated drug use. So, again, it's just something that you can add to the long, unfortunate tale of former Raiders quarterback Todd Marinovich. We're going to pause for just a moment. We're going to get you caught up on the local sports front. We're going to go over the Carbon and Emory games from this past Friday. Both squads start the season a little slow. Emory falling on the road to Summit Academy. 20-7 was the final score in that game. Emory's offense did not score a single point. Instead, it was Colton Butler taking a pick six back 95 yards. But Emory was in the game, and they shut down Summit Academy in the second half. Got to get some things worked out offensively. And we did see a lot of good things from Emory. Logan Cox did go over the 100-yard barrier on the ground. So some positives for the Spartans. On the flip side of that, the Carbon Dinos lost to the Manti Templars 42-0. We talked to Coach Cole Meekum on our Saturday high school football live show here on KOAL. And he talked about Marshall Dotson, the first-year quarterback, and what kind of a game he had. And he also talked about Max Stevens, who's going to be a beast for Manti this season. So we're going to give you the rundown on the high school football scene. And again, we'll talk AP Top 25 College Football and also UFC 202. That's coming up in just a bit with Larry Pepe here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli, where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, this is John Duras, Fleet and Internet Sales Manager at Tony Basso GM. I'm a lifelong resident of Harbin County with nearly 40 years of sales and customer service experience. Check us out at TonyBassoGM.com. Call or text me at 650-7444.
The best price, a great deal, locally, every day at Tony Basso GM.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Emory Spartan football squad opened up the season Friday night as they traveled on the road to Bluffdale to take on the Summit Academy Bears. And unfortunately, the opener under first-year head coach John Famalo did not go as planned as Emory suffered a 20-7 setback. The Emory offense was shut out in Friday's loss. The lone touchdown of the evening came on a 95-yard interception return by Colton Butler. Emory trailed 20-7 at halftime, and the two teams played to a shutout tie in the final two quarters. The offense was led by Logan Cox. He broke the 100-yard barrier, finishing with 104 yards off of just 12 carries. Easton Gordon had 38 yards off of 9 carries. Zach Jorgensen threw for 52 yards in the contest, but Summit Academy was led by Isaac Hamilton. The standout quarterback threw for 3 touchdowns on the evening and over 300 yards, along with 1 interception. The Spartans, who are now 0-1, will look to earn their first victory of the season this Friday as they travel on the road to take on Payson. Start time for this game is set for 7 p.m. You will be able to listen live on KOAL 103.9 FM or 7:50 a.m. Do not forget you can also live video stream the game by visiting KOALITV.com. The Carbon Dino football team also started the year off with a setback as they fell to Manti 42-0 Friday night at home. It's the second year under head coach Josh Huntsman. The Dinos had trouble moving the football offensively. 2 quarterbacks saw time under center for the Dinos as Noah Jones completed 1 out of 5 passes, and Taylen Abeda also saw time underneath center. The Dinos offense was led by Nate Olson, who had 14 carries for 59 yards, averaging about 4 yards per carry. His long rush was 10 throughout the evening. The Dinos will look to earn their first victory of the season as they travel on the road to take on Ben Lomond this upcoming Friday. Start time for that one is scheduled for 7 p.m. This will begin a 2-game road trip for Corbin. Following this game against Ben Lomond, they'll travel on the road to take on Snow Canyon next week. Recapping the remainder of the 3A North, the division that Carbon and Emory share with 4 other teams struggled as every squad except for Grantsville suffered a setback. And Juan Diego, the defending 3A state champions, lost to 5A West Jordan 32-25 in one of the more thrilling games of the weekend. The game came to an end following an interception on the final drive of the contest. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more high school football coverage throughout the year, including High School Football Live, presented by Drive Time Sports every Saturday, beginning at 11 a.m. Also on Friday night, the Carbon Lady Dinos soccer squad earned their first victory of the season as they topped North Sevier 5-0 on the road. The Lady Dinos had 4 different individuals score a goal. L.A. Cadell scored 2 goals to lead the Lady Dinos to the victory. Aubrey Payne, Grace Broadbear, and Sadie Crompton each added 1. The Lady Dinos held a 3-0 lead at the end of the first half. They added 2 more in the second to cruise to the win. The Lady Dinos are now 1-2 on the season. They'll look to make it 2 straight victories tomorrow when they travel on the road to take on Emory, who shares the same record at 1-2. Start time for that contest is set for 3:30 p.m. And this past weekend, with the Helper Arts Festival, another horseshoe tournament was held. It was the first annual Helper Arts Festival horseshoe tournament, and it brought in 10 teams. Taking first place was Ricky Sandoval and Josh Eden. Second was Tab Davis and Spencer Noyes. And third place went to Clinton Badback and Bobby Sandoval. An awards ceremony of medals and trophies was held at 6 p.m. on the Main Street stage. Next up for the horseshoe players, they'll prepare for Fall League. You can sign up at Carbon Rec. Make sure you do so by September 2nd. The cost is just $10 per team. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's Pizza. Huh? You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 South.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-458-3263. That's 1-800-458-3263. 1-800-458-3263.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to talk college football. Yesterday we had the AP Top 25 finally released. We get it 10 days before the start of the college football season. Well, 10 days to the major portion of the college football season. We get a game this Friday, California going toe-to-toe with Hawaii. That game will actually take place in Australia. It'll kick off this Friday, 8 p.m. Mountain Time. So we get college football Friday, but we're 10 days away from the major portion of the season picking up. And, of course, the AP Top 25 rankings come out, and it sparks up controversy, which is exactly what it does best. Yeah, the coaches' poll come out a week ago, week and a half ago. Top four was the identical, exact same. The AP has Alabama number one, Clemson number two, Oklahoma number three, Florida State number four. The big difference, the amount of points. Alabama gets 33 first-place votes in the AP. They got 55 first-place votes in the coaches' poll. 5 through 10, there's a few differences. In the AP poll, LSU is 5, and Ohio State is 6. Those two were swapped in the coaches' poll. Michigan is 7, Stanford is 8. Those two are swapped in the coaches' poll. And then Tennessee is 9, and Notre Dame is 10. Those two also swapped in the coaches' poll. Tennessee did get one first-place vote in the coaches' poll, they got 0 in the AP. 11 through 15 goes Ole Miss, Michigan State, TCU, Washington, Houston. 16, it's UCLA, Iowa, Georgia, Louisville, and USC. And then 21 through 25, Oklahoma State, North Carolina, Baylor, Oregon, and Florida. And, of course, whenever the AP rankings are released, people have that topic. Should they even be released until Week 8 when the College Football Playoff Committee releases theirs? Sure. It gives us something to talk about. I mean, really, it builds expectation for Week 1, and we're going to get to some of the stellar matchups that we have coming up in Week 1. But let's take a look at the AP preseason poll by the numbers. The top number, 50 times now that Alabama has appeared in the AP preseason poll. It's a half-centennial milestone. Sixth team to start the top 25, 50 different years since the poll began in 1936. Ohio State leads that all-time list with 63 appearances. You have 6 SEC schools in the top 25. That's the most for any conference. So you have Alabama, then you have LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia, and Florida. So the most represented conference in the rankings, the SEC. 4 ACC schools are in the top 25. You have Florida State, Louisville, North Carolina, and you can't forget Clemson, who was last year's runner-up there at number 2. The highest ranking in Clemson program history for the preseason polls. That's as high as they have ever been. They were number 4 back in 1984 and 1988. Last year, they were number 12 in the preseason poll. So that's the highest that Clemson has ever been in the AP poll. 7 different teams got a first-place vote in this year's AP poll as well. That's some parity right there. Alabama's got 33. Clemson 16, Oklahoma had 4, Florida State had 4, LSU 1, Ohio State 1, and Michigan 1. All received at least one first place vote. That's the most teams to get this recognition since 8 teams at least got one first place vote back in 1998. Last year, Ohio State got all 61 first place votes. They were the first unanimous selection in AP poll history. 3 top 25 teams from Texas and California. That's the most of any state. So in Cali, you have Stanford at number 8, UCLA at number 16, USC at number 20. Texas, you have TCU at 13, Houston at 15, and Baylor at 23. And I'll get to Houston a little bit later on in the show. That's a team that you definitely have to pay attention to say the least. 8 top 25 teams that weren't in the preseason poll last year. Michigan wasn't in the preseason poll last year. Now they're number 7. how much of that has been earned and how much of that is the nostalgia and the story and the hype that comes with Jim Harbaugh. I think a little bit of both. Number 14 is Washington, number 15 Houston, number 17 Iowa, number 19 Louisville, number 21 Oklahoma State, number 22 North Carolina, and number 25 Florida. Those teams were not in the preseason poll last year. And again, you have Alabama, the defending national champions, number one at the top of the poll. Here's some bad news for Alabama. And I'll get to why I don't think Alabama is going to repeat this year, and I'll get to that in just a moment. There's one historical obstacle working against them. Since the USA Today Sports started managing the coaches' poll back in 1991, nine defending champions have started number one. The following preseason poll, after winning the national championship, and all nine have failed to repeat. Now, I'm not saying Alabama's not going to repeat because of some superstition and some coincidence. They don't have an easy road. I think last year the schedule was in Alabama's favor. You had the Heisman Trophy winner in Derrick Henry. You had Coker, who I thought was fantastic last year. You don't have those guys. It's a different look for Alabama. Now, they reload. I understand that. But they start off the season against USC, who's ranked 17th. I think Alabama can beat USC. I think they will beat USC. But it's not an easy game to start off with, because you have essentially 6 months to prepare for Alabama, and USC has athletes. That's not an easy game to open up the season with. The SEC schedule, they have to go to Mississippi, Tennessee, who a lot of people are high on, and LSU. In fact, all three of those teams are ranked in the top 12. And they have a game at Arkansas as well. They got a first-year starter at quarterback. The defense is going to have to carry this team until whoever they name as the starting quarterback starts to pick up on Lane Kiffin's offense, which can be effective, but at the same time, it takes a while to get acclimated to it. Third time in Nick Saban's tenure at Alabama that his team has started number one. The next year, they have failed to win the SEC, and they've had to settle for a major bowl appearance. I think we're going down the same road for Bama this year. That's a great football team, don't get me wrong. But you talk about the newcomers, and they got a kid coming out of the backfield who was a top 15 prospect in 2014, by the last name of Scarborough. A lot of high expectations for him. They reload at running back. I mean, we've seen T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram. Those two actually won the Heisman Trophy. Nick Saban's done a terrific job of just loading up in the backfield. And so I expect Scarborough to have a great season. There's just too many moving pieces on that offense this year for me. They're going to be stout up front, but you just don't know what you're going to get from the quarterback position. They really have to rely on their defense to get to the national championship and win it again this year. And if they do it, I'm not going to be stunned. I just don't like their chances of getting back. I think this is the year where things could really get shaky. It could really get screwy, because you look at all the teams that are projected to be in the top 10. Let's go beyond that. Look at the top 15. There are so many holes for so many teams. I mean, we could talk about Clemson. How good is their defense going to be? Yeah, they have one of the Heisman frontrunners in Deshaun Watson, but how good is that defense going to be? I think there's holes all the way around. And again, the SEC is going to be extremely difficult. Here's the cool thing about the AP Top 25 preseason rankings. And we talk about, should the rankings come out again every year? College football is so different from every other sport in this regard. Take a look at high school football. We kicked off the season this past Friday. We get a preseason. We talked about this Saturday on the high school football show. Coaches divide the year up into three seasons. They have their preseason, then they have their region, and then you have the postseason. Now, your non-region schedule does not affect you at all as far as your chances of getting to the state tournament. The NFL, we just wrapped up week two of the preseason. We get two more preseason games. See, these are games that will not affect any squad in the NFL from getting to the postseason. That's not the case in college football. And I think that's why preseason rankings, I know they're subjective, but that's why they are important. Because you don't have a preseason. Going into it, one loss at the beginning of the year, yeah, there's timing of loss. That's important. If you're going to lose a game, you want to lose that opener. Gives you 11 weeks to climb back up the ladder. But I don't know how serious a lot of people take the preseason rankings. Take this story, for instance. There's a writer in Nebraska who left Stanford out of his top 25. Pretty much everybody has Stanford in their top 10. This writer left them out of the top 25. He had to have forgotten about Stanford. Had to have. That guy should either be able to recast or he shouldn't be allowed to vote again. There's no way Stanford's not a top 25 team. So, you know, the AP doesn't necessarily directly affect the playoff picture anymore, and so it does give us a gauge because there is no preseason in college football. Now, I did mention the Houston Cougars, a team to watch for. Tom Herman had a very successful year, rookie head coach last season. Houston goes 13-1. They knock off Florida State in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. So instantly, a lot of people have their eyes on Houston because you're bringing back a senior quarterback, Greg Ward Jr. Had a breakout season last year. I just talked about Deshaun Watson being one of the front runners for the Heisman Trophy. He was the nation's only other quarterback to throw for at least 2,000 yards and run for 1,000 yards last season. And maybe Greg Ward could be mentioned in the Heisman conversation this year. And you have to look at Houston's schedule. That's what's so important, the schedule for the Houston Cougars. And this is why they could sneak in. They open up the season against Oklahoma. They have a chance for a marquee win right off of the bat. If you can take care of business at a neutral site, that's September 3rd, huge game going up against Oklahoma. You have a chance to take out the number 3 team in the country. Later on down the road, after that, it's an easy schedule for a while. You get Lamar, Cincinnati, Texas State, UConn, Navy. After that, you get all the way down to the bottom of the schedule. They get Louisville, and then you got to go on the road against Memphis, and then you play in the American Championship. Houston's schedule is set up so beautifully, and they're ranked 15 to start this year off. If they get a win over Oklahoma, I think they instantly become serious contenders to get into the playoffs. Because a lot of the times we have a mid-major team that runs the table, and I've always had the idea of, okay, well, who have they beaten? If you beat Oklahoma, and again, this is where the preseason polls come into play, if you're number 15 and you beat number 3 right out of the gate, I don't care if it's a preseason poll or not, instantly you're a top 10 squad. And the schedule is so light for the next 9 weeks, I really think Houston has a chance to get into the postseason. I also think the Pac-12 may be on the outside looking in once again. And we'll be talking a lot of Pac-12 football in the days to come. Nobody in the Pac-12 outside of Stanford and Christian McCaffrey really hit me as being a strong playoff contending team. I'm not high on Jim Mora. I'm definitely not high on USC. I think the Trojans could win anywhere between 6 to 8 games. Clay Helton experiment, part 2. I don't know. Pac-12 could be on the outside looking in, which also benefits a team like Houston. The SEC may pose a problem because there's a good chance that they get 2 teams in, considering that Tennessee and Alabama, both coming from separate sides of the conference, look as if they are going to be very good. Notre Dame, they just kicked off Max Redfield, who a lot of people expected to be one of the leading tacklers on the team this year. That's a senior. And then your other senior, Devin Butler, who broke his foot. Now he's suspended indefinitely. That's good news for Houston. Things are kind of starting to work in their favor. Plus, if you get rid of Oklahoma in week 1 and Oklahoma wins the Big 12 and you run the table, well, you have an in over the Big 12 champion. So Houston would be my team to watch. Boy, the AP rankings are a lot of fun, see? Gives us something to talk about. Talking about Houston Cougar football here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to talk MMA, UFC 202 over the weekend. McGregor Diaz. McGregor wins the second match. Some people thought that Diaz should have gotten the win. I had McGregor winning 3-2. Yeah, I'll give Diaz round 2. I'll give him round 5. We're going to talk to Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. He's going to join us over the phone here in just a moment. We'll get his thoughts on UFC 202 and also if we get a rubber match between McGregor and Diaz. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
It's not too late to enroll at USU Eastern for the fall semester. USU Eastern has many degree options for many different individuals. Have you ever thought, I don't think I can afford to go to college? Well, here's a thought. You don't know if you can afford it if you don't look into it. Whether you're a student fresh out of high school or anyone else that has thought about going to college, call 613-5616 today and take the first step to a new beginning. Make sure to ask about financial aid options through FAFSA. Get off the procrastination train and head to USU Eastern. Let them help transform your life.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today, 613-9605.
The temperatures are heating up, and nothing goes better with hot summer days than ice cream from KFC and A&W. Take the kids down to KFC and A&W, and they can choose an ice cream cone, root beer freeze, or a polar swirl. And you can get a mug of ice-cold root beer for you. You'll be a hit when you show up at the family picnic with a gallon of KFC and A&W's famous homemade root beer. Or just take the family out to dinner at KFC and A&W for the best burgers in town. Summer is the best time to get to KFC and A&W.
Ever thought of the salesperson you bought your last vehicle from as your best friend? No? Then you have never bought a car from JN Auto in Huntington. At JN Auto, you'll find great vehicles that are still covered by a manufacturer warranty. That means you get a new vehicle without the outrageous new vehicle payment. JN Auto takes pride in making sure they keep their customers happy during every step of the sale, so your salesperson becomes your new friend. And even after you make your purchase, the team at JN continues to take care of you. JN Auto, making lifetime customers and friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer?
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to transition from the world of college football to talk UFC 202 this past Saturday. We saw McGregor and Diaz go at it round two. This time, Conor McGregor comes out on top. We're going to recap UFC 202 with our next guest right now, Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. He was kind enough to join us last week to preview this particular event, and now he's joining us again to recap it. Larry, always great to get you on. Thank you.
Pleasure's mine.
Larry, we'll dive right into it. Conor McGregor wins round two against Nate Diaz. Now we're locked up 1-1. First off, I want your assessment of this fight on Saturday night.
Well, it's very interesting that you said he won round two, because I know what you meant, that this was the second fight, but I think you, consciously or otherwise, Jordan, actually highlighted the one round we should be talking about, because the first round is clearly all Conor, the third and fifth rounds are clearly Nate, and the fourth round is reasonably clearly Conor. So I think this fight comes down to how did you score the second round. Now, Conor knocks Nate down twice early in the round, but these were not big knockdowns. And I'm not trying to split hairs, but this wasn't, for viewers who may not have seen it. You know, he lands a shot, and Nate Diaz goes sprawling to the ground. It almost looked, they were punches, so they were legitimate knockdowns, but Nate kind of falls to his back, and given Nate's Brazilian jiu-jitsu proficiency and excellence and Conor's lack thereof, you wonder when he went down how much of it was to bait Conor into coming down to the ground where he knew that he could have his way with him. Conor didn't take the bait. That happens early. He still continues to land leg kicks. But amazingly, Jordan, 2 to 2.5 minutes into the round, Conor McGregor is gassed again. And I'm, again, not saying this to be negative towards Conor. Let me give him a compliment. He is the best 145-pound fighter in the world. He's the featherweight world champion. He is fantastic at 145. However, he may be the worst cardiovascular athlete I've ever seen of a smaller fighter. And by smaller fighter, I mean, you know, we see heavyweights gas early sometimes because they might be out of shape, because they're carrying more body mass, they get tired more easily. I've never seen a fighter this small gas this early. Now, I had this argument with people after the first fight, because he gassed, ironically, almost at the exact same time in that fight. And people, the storyline was that he had tried to knock Nate out by throwing heavy punches, and throwing the heavy punches exhausted him. My argument was, if you're ready for a 25-minute fight, the idea that you would get tired because you were punching hard for 5 to 7 minutes is asinine. And I think this fight proved my point, because he did not throw big shots. He was very measured. He used leg kicks incredibly efficiently and was devastating Nate's front leg. But he did nothing that you would say, oh, my God, I don't know that he can keep up this pace for 5 rounds. And then suddenly, mysteriously, almost at the same point, at the same time, he's gassed again. And Nate takes over the second half of that round. I grappled with how I scored the round. Ultimately, I gave McGregor the round 10-9 by the narrowest of margins. But if you asked me a half hour later, I would tell you 10-10, which makes the fight a draw. So I think that's how close this fight was. It came down to literally how you scored about a minute of the second round, because Conor had the round early, Nate had the round late, and that's how close this redemption fight was. And that's why, even though I was against this fight, because I think the fight made no sense, it was at 170 pounds, we had neither one of them fight. It's relevant to no division. It's relevant to nobody not named McGregor or Diaz. But now that you're in the McGregor-Diaz business, now that it's 1-1, now that they had a great fight, partially because McGregor gassed and partially because Nate Diaz can't wrestle, whatever it was, they combined for a fantastic fight. I don't see how you don't do a third and strike while the iron is hot. This is what combat sports trilogies are all about. But Dana White has already said they will not do that. And next for Conor McGregor will be either a unification bout at featherweight against Jose Aldo or a lightweight title shot, which in no universe does Conor McGregor deserve.
Again, our guest right now is Larry Pepe, a pro MMA radio. Larry, you were going back over the first three rounds of that fight. Let me ask you this. If round three, if we have six-minute rounds instead of five-minute rounds, is this fight over after round three? Because it appeared that Diaz was very close to ending this fight in round three.
You know what? I can't say for round three, but I'll tell you where I am confident if round five was a six-minute round. Because Nate finally got a takedown with about 10 or 12 seconds left in the round, and then he was ground and pounding Conor. Had he had another minute, I don't have much of a doubt that he finishes Conor, because, again, Nate's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu proficiency, he's a high-level Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. Go back to the first fight. He went through Conor like a hot knife through butter once it hit the ground. I think for Nate's purposes, this just hit the ground about a minute too late. So I think you could conceivably have seen him finished in the third by exhaustion or in the fifth by submission, either way, but fortunately for Conor, he was able to gut it out. Things happened at the right time, and he was able to escape those rounds without getting finished.
Let me ask you this from a promoter standpoint and a spectator standpoint, somebody who covers the sport. Does Conor McGregor have the right to choose who he wants to fight next? I know UFC is completely different from boxing, but has he earned the right to say who he wants next in the cage?
Well, I guess, you know, it depends on how we're going to define the word earn. From an athletic standpoint, no. Not in my opinion. He's never defended the 145-pound belt one time. Never. He beat Jose Aldo and immediately got a title shot at 155 against Rafael Dos Anjos, and then Dos Anjos got hurt, and the rest is history. Nate Diaz subs in for Dos Anjos and ends up beating Conor, and then they do the rematch. So from a standpoint of performance, has he earned the right? Absolutely not. From a standpoint of dollars, well, sure, because he's the biggest draw the UFC has right now. Absent Brock Lesnar, but Lesnar is now, you know, he failed a steroid test. Who knows if he's going to fight again? Who knows anything about that? But from a pure fighter standpoint, McGregor is number one, at worst number two. So when you bring in the dollars, you have a lot more leverage to choose what you want to do. But from a performance standpoint, a featherweight who has never defended the belt, who lost to a lightweight who is barely ranked in the top five in the lightweight division, fighting at 170, no, that doesn't spell that you've earned the right to start picking your opponents. But it's interesting you bring that up, Jordan, because the UFC allowing McGregor to have a lot more say in what he's going to do has actually had a trickle-down effect. We now see Tyron Woodley at welterweight saying, no, I'm not going to fight Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, even though he's the number one contender, because I want a big money fight. I want George St. Pierre or Nick Diaz, who hasn't won a UFC fight since 2011. But he's a big name. He's a draw. So Tyron Woodley says, hey, I want to fight that guy because, number one, it'd be an easy fight for Woodley. And number two, it's a bigger money fight. We're seeing it with different champions who are now being more vocal, like, I'm going to pick. Michael Bisping, who just got the middleweight belt from Luke Rockhold, is fighting Dan Henderson, who isn't even, if he's a top 10 middleweight, he's 10th. But he wanted that rematch because Henderson smoked him at UFC 100, and Henderson has said it'll be his last fight, etc. But Henderson is getting the shot. And Michael Bisping, the champion, said, that's who I want to fight. I don't want to fight Luke Rockhold. I don't want to fight Chris Weidman. I want to fight that guy. So we're seeing this trickle-down effect, and I don't think it's a good thing. Because at the end of the day, the UFC is becoming, if they haven't already become, more towards entertainment than pure sport when it comes to the matchmaking. You know, which matches are going to sell, not which matches are deserved. And I've had this argument with a lot of people, Jordan, in mainstream sports and out, where they'll say, well, you know, you don't understand, it's a business. No, I do understand. We know what else is a business? Every other sport. The NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. And the commissioner of the NBA doesn't pick, you know what? We're going to put L.A. and New York in the finals because those are the two biggest markets, and that will be the biggest viewership. Let's assume that they both didn't stink for a moment. They don't get to do that. What they do is they build the business around the integrity of the competition. And when the UFC started handing out title shots to Chael Sonnen at 205 pounds, where he hadn't won a fight in 8 years, Nick Diaz coming off a loss and a suspension by the commission, he gets a title shot with George St. Pierre, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're seeing, I think, the logical fallout of that plus letting McGregor do whatever he wants to do. And all of a sudden, it's not about who's earned it. It's about who the fighter and or the promotion think is going to sell the most pay-per-views. And I know it's a business, but it's your job as the business to build the business around the integrity of the competition, at least to a degree. And we're starting to see less and less of that.
We'll end with this, Larry. I'm going to ask you, McGregor's next bout, is it Aldo, is it Alvarez, or is it Diaz?
I think it's going to be Alvarez, and I think it's the least deserving by far of the three. He has never won a UFC fight at 155 pounds. Nate Diaz, who he just, depending on, you know, what hour you ask me, either fought to a draw or beat by the narrowest of margins, was crazy. He is, at best, a top five lightweight, one win and one loss over a fringe top five, six, seven lightweight does not earn you a title shot. And I have a feeling that that's what they'll do because I think for McGregor, an Aldo rematch, is he has already said, is not particularly interesting to him. I think he would have to vacate the belt at 145, give it to Aldo, and then, and I have no problem with that. I just think if he's going to vacate the belt, they should finish the trilogy and strike while the iron is hot because fans have a short tolerance and a short attention span for trilogies, And if you're going to build this thing, and right now it's all over ESPN and different sports outlets and Fox and everywhere else that this was a fantastic fight, close as could be, it's 1-1. I think you strike while the iron is hot and you do Diaz again. But they've already said that they absolutely will not do that, and the only options are Aldo and Alvarez. So I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that they do Alvarez, which he doesn't deserve at all. He should be unifying the belt at 145 with Jose Aldo.
Larry Pepe, a pro MMA radio. It's always great to get you on the show, Larry. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. On Twitter, they can just check me out at Larry Pepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E. If they are on AFN, serve or know anyone who serves, thank you very much. We're the official radio show for the American Forces Network, and we air there Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific. And they can check out the website anytime. All the episodes are up there as well at ProMMAradio.com.
Larry, hopefully we'll get you on again relatively soon and talk UFC 203. It's always great to get you on. Thank you again for the time today.
Pleasure's mine.
We're going to pause for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
It's time to send your kids back to school. Lucky you, your 16-year-old can drive this year. The only problem with that is that she will be driving your car. Don't be left home without a vehicle every day. Let your student take your old car to school, and you get yourself something brand new with a loan from Desert View Federal Credit Union. Come talk to a loan officer today or call 687-2472.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
School's back in session. The kids are away, and moms have time to play. Moms get to relax, shop, and eat great food at Big Mo's Eatery. Big Mo's is the perfect spot for mom time. Plan a girl's lunch together with scrumptious burgers and fresh-cut fries. Move your book club meeting and enjoy a yummy French toast brunch. And vent about all things mom while sampling homemade pumpkin, chocolate chip, and sugar cookies. With no sticky fingers stealing food from your plate or yelling about broken crayons, Big Mo's is perfect for mom time, brunch or lunch.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or, if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
It's relevant.
The driver of the motorcycle was ejected from the bike. He suffered fatal injuries.
Yeah. You know what it is. Urban yellow, urban yellow, urban yellow, urban yellow.
Yeah, what's up? This is Middle World Peace. And you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I don't know how you follow that. Larry's the best when it comes to breaking down UFC fights. We'll get back on the UFC bandwagon here in a couple of weeks. And hopefully we'll get some sort of resolution between the McGregor-Diaz. I don't think we need Fight 3. Larry broke that down for us. I don't think we need it. It's a meaningless fight as far as the weight classes go. And that's one of the things that has made UFC so great over the past few years, is the fans got the fights that actually had meaning. Starting to float down that same avenue of boxing, and that's not good for anyone. Let's take a look at... This was an interesting article. Really interesting. Which NFL teams are you watching every Sunday? I have a map sitting in front of me. And, of course, here in the state of Utah, without us having a home team, I don't need to tell you which NFL team that we get most Sundays. If you're a Denver Bronco fan, there's absolutely no reason to invest into the Sunday ticket. Because according to numbers, over the past 7 years, we have gotten an average of 12 to 15 Bronco games in this area a year. 12 to 15. Actually somewhat shocking that the second most viewed team in the state of Utah would be the Dallas Cowboys, where we get roughly 9 to 12 games a year. Now, we know they're America's team. But if you're a fan of either the Broncos or the Cowboys, there's really no reason for you to invest in the Sunday ticket at all. Now, for instance, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you maybe get 3 games a year. Same with the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Rams, when they were in St. Louis, you were getting about three games here a year. The Cardinals were around six games a year. The Raiders anywhere between six and nine games a year. But the Broncos and the Cowboys seems to be the two most popular teams here in the state of Utah. Try to track down the 49ers. Seems like we get the 49ers on TV a lot. There we go. Anywhere between 9 and 12 49er games a year. That seems about right. If you're a fan of those teams, really, there's no reason to purchase a Sunday ticket. One thing that is coming out tomorrow, the most popular sports franchise video game, Madden 17, will come back out. Typically, we go over the Madden curse. I've given up on the Madden curse. I don't believe in it anymore. I don't think there's any truth to it. Rob Gronkowski is on the cover of Madden this year. Madden 17 will drop tomorrow. You can get on and read the reviews. The best part about the Madden game coming out anymore, the older I get, it's the players reacting to their ratings and actually going back and forth with each other on Twitter. That seems to be the most fun now that I'm past my avid video game days, watching the players argue about what they actually should be. We're running out of time on the show. I wanted to jump into this topic today. We're going to have to save it for tomorrow, but we can preview it a little bit. David Robinson said that the Golden State Warriors have a chance to be special, but he doesn't believe their window is very long. He says it's a very short window. Here's his quote. It takes time. You look at what happened with LeBron and Wade and Bosch. It took them a year or two to get their legs underneath them and figure things out, and even then, that run was relatively short. I was on a show in Omaha yesterday talking about this, and this is why I want to save this for another day when we can actually get into it in depth. And the topic of super teams, and are super teams good for the league? Super teams are fine for the league. No team dominates uncontrollably for a long period of time. Super teams generally have a very small window. They're together 3 or 4 years, and then they go their separate ways. That's a fun topic, and I want to get on that a little bit later on in the week. Thank you to Larry Pepe for taking out the time. College football is back. High school football is back. I'm telling you, it's the best time to host a sports talk radio show. That's for sure. We're out of time today. Make sure you check out CastleCountryRadio.com for everything you need over the weekend as far as updates on the Carbon and Emory scores from over the weekend. And at KOALITV.com, you can also watch the Emory game from this past Friday. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Be safe. I'm out.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to